We've ended 20 years of conflict in Afghanistan. And as we close this period of relentless war, we're opening a new era of relentless diplomacy.
Progressives, as you have alluded to, we are currently being held hostage by conservative Democrats.
We are very concerned that Haitians who are taking this irregular migration path are receiving false information that the border is open.
Freedom is back in style. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song.
The new Sean Hannity Show. More behind-the-scenes information on breaking news and more bold, inspired solutions for America.
This is a special edition of The Sean Hannity Show. America trapped behind enemy lines.
Day number 41. 41.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. Let me see. Let me go through this transcript live just to make sure I got this thing right. So we got reporter question one, reporter question two. Then we've got reporter question three, four, and let's see, did we make it to five? Apparently no. Four questions. That's not a press conference. That's Joe Biden going out there screaming, yelling, scolding, angry, blaming everybody and anybody but himself. I inherited. You inherited secure borders. You inherited energy independence. You inherited three vaccines and monoclonal antibodies that you only mentioned a week and a half ago. You inherited an America that was strong around the world. You inherited a secure Kabul, a secure Afghanistan where nobody died in the last 18 months too, Joe. And I won't apologize for anything that I've done. Oh, okay. Meanwhile, you abandoned our fellow Americans. You can't even give us a number how many, and you don't want to even talk about it. You didn't even mention the hostages today. How do you not mention the hostages, Americans you abandoned, and green card holders in the thousands, and their families, and Afghan allies that are being shot, killed, and murdered? And by the way, the good old Taliban days are back as they're now bringing back public executions and amputations. Women are out of school, can't go to work. The good old days are back. Very, very professional and businesslike, right, Joe? Unbelievable. Anyway, his poll numbers are tanking, but according to Joe, I don't look at the polls. They go up and they go down. What a genius. Listen.
And again, I'll just conclude by saying this is a process.
Process.
And it's going to be up and down.
Come on, man.
That's why I don't look at the polls. Not a joke. Because it's going to go up and it's going to go down. It's going to go up. And hopefully at the end of the day,
they stay up.
I'll be able to deliver on what I said I would do.
They go up, they go down. Come on, come on, come on, man. Did you do cocaine before this show? Did you smoke crack like Mike Hunter? Come on, man, you a junkie? I just can't even believe it. Anyway, if you look at the polls that he's apparently, Joe, is not looking at, he's losing ground, and this is where it gets interesting. On every substantive issue, Afghanistan, COVID, borders, etc., the economy, but also his approval rating has fallen sharply in terms of his personal traits. In other words, the positive evaluations of his personal traits, yeah, they're going down dramatically as well. And the Cook Political Report, you know, private polling is picking up double-digit drops in his performance in competitive House districts. We've talked about 32 separate, very important swing states in the country, and they're down dramatically. Down a 32% approval rating in Iowa, for example. That would be called what we say in the business, a bellwether. You know, sudden doubts about his confidence are coming in fast and furious. Now Americans have decided he's too old for this job. He's not up for this job. Okay, we've been telling you about that too. Margin of 57 to 43%. His performance shows that he's too old to be president, as opposed to showing he's fit to be president. Who are the 43% that think he's fit? I don't know what they're smoking. Maybe I need that. Matt Towery and John McLaughlin, our pollsters, are back with us. Welcome back, both of you. And then the one other poll I didn't mention is that, you know, now Donald Trump is, his approval rating's been rising dramatically. I guess in retrospect, mean tweets, but let's see, a competent president that that literally kept the radical Taliban in check, that killed the caliphate, Soleimani, Baghdadi, the Al-Qaeda leader in Yemen, that brought us to energy independence for the first time in 75 years, secured the border, had no inflation, record low unemployment, three vaccines and one therapeutic called monoclonal antibodies. I'd say that Donald Trump's mean tweets perhaps are being seen in a different light now, John McLaughlin.
Yes, in fact, by the way, you've been ahead of this curve. You've had Matt and myself on the show, and we've been saying he's starting to slip. He's slipping badly. Trump left him with the vaccines, left him with the growing economy. And we've been tracking this poll since May, but as of September 14th, 58% of all Americans thought that Joe's not going to serve the full 4 years. They think Kamala Harris will be president. But even still, we asked, this is 1,000 likely voters across the country. We asked them, do they agree or disagree? I used to dislike Trump's aggressive confrontational style, but now that I see how weak Biden was in dealing with the Taliban in Afghanistan, I'm thinking maybe Trump wasn't so bad. 52 to 44, all voters agree with that statement. It takes a tough man to be a good president. When I see how weak Biden is, I'm coming to appreciate Trump more. And I'm thinking we need a bit more of Trump's toughness right now. 56% of all voters agreed with that. Only 40% disagreed. 23% of Biden voters, 27% of the Democrats agreed with that. Finally, we asked, do you agree or disagree with this statement? Say what you will about Donald Trump, but we had very low inflation, less illegal immigration, gas prices were much lower, and until things exploded after George Floyd's murder, there was much less crime when he was president. 60% of all voters agree with that. Only 35 disagree. 28% of the Biden voters, 32% of the Democrats. Trump, in our polls we had over a week ago, Trump would beat Biden and Harris decisively in electoral landslide. And yesterday, Rasmussen reports had Trump leading Biden 51-41 and Trump leading Harris 52-39. There is huge buyer's remorse going on. And guess what? Joe Biden did in 7 months what it took Jimmy Carter to do in 4 years. He's wrecking a perfectly good economy, and he's the weakest president in the history of the country, where he's actually surrendered a country that we defended for 20 years.
Matt Towery.
He's crashing in the polls.
Well, John stole most of my good lines, I got to tell you. But let's look at this not just from his great polling, but also nationally in the Real Clear Politics average. He's down on the average 4.6%. But in reality, if it weren't for a couple outlier polls, he would be where Gallup has him today. And I've always felt like Gallup is the best at measuring presidential approval. That's one thing they do very well. They have the president down 10 points. That's about where he should be, and probably a little lower than that in reality. But I want to make another point, and that is, you mentioned all the other reasons and various topics where he's down, but there was a Dallas Morning News poll taken in Texas that I think is very interesting. It shows that 54% of the Hispanic Latino population that they surveyed for this poll disapprove of Joe Biden. Now, they are living this whole border crisis in Texas. I would submit to you that if the Republican National Committee were to start showing what's going on the border every week by buying ads and showing the rest of the country, his approval among Latino and Hispanic voters throughout this country would be that low. When a news event happened, Sean, like the Afghanistan issue, where the press finally had to break through and let the truth be shown, he drops like a rock. And the rest of the country doesn't know what's going on in Texas as much as those who watch maybe some cable news. But if they were to see it, these numbers would go even lower. They'd be even lower. He'd be at 39.
I think it's inevitable. You can't miss it now over time. I mean, it's the type of thing where, you know, some people over the course of my career would say, well, why do you repeat certain statistics? There's a method to my madness, because I want everybody else to be able to repeat it. And then this way they go out and it becomes an echo chamber. And in an election year, if I start with a list and everybody knows the list by November, then they can recite the list to every one of their friends, every one of their relatives, and anybody they run into. And that's the whole idea, because a lot of people don't get news as objective as the news that we give. That's right. Objective, actual facts instead of fiction. But you know, the reality is, It's an unmitigated disaster. Begging OPEC for oil. Just think about that one issue. You know, giving a waiver to Putin while simultaneously taking away pipeline building jobs in America. Look at abandoning Americans behind enemy lines and acting as though he didn't do it. Those people are still left behind enemy lines, and the Taliban is going right back to being the fierce, brutal terrorists they were the last time, 20 years ago. Those Americans, I don't think we're going to get them all home. I hope to God I'm wrong. I pray I'm wrong. I'd love to be able to say we've successfully extracted every last American, every one of their family members, every green card holder, every one of our Afghan allies, but I think you both agree with me, the odds are pretty low. Then you look at the disaster at the border in the middle of a pandemic, and then they outright lying to us. Well, they're not going to be here very long, so we don't need to COVID test them. I don't think any of these lies are going to fly, and I think over time it's accumulating into what can only be described as a disaster, John McLaughlin.
Absolutely. But, you know, people are seeing this because it's breaking through the mainstream media, that's coddling Biden and is not telling them what's going on. It's getting out there. And we're doing focus groups for Newt Gingrich because people are realizing that these swing voters that we interview and that we talk to in an August poll, they said that big government socialism has taken over the Democrat Party, 69 to 31. And in focus groups, average persons, African-Americans, swing voters, senior citizens, are telling us they're getting mugged at the supermarket every day with high prices. They're paying more for gas, utilities, and now they can't afford basic food costs, whereas their monthly budget is basically saying, you know, you're going to spend more on food. The price of eggs, bread, milk, butter, it's all going up.
Excuse me, the price of a pound of Oscar Mayer thick-cut bacon, I happen to be my favorite. I do my own food shopping. I don't know why people say, what are you doing here? Every time I'm in the grocery store, that's the oddest question I've ever heard. I say, obviously, I like to eat, but the price is up $2. You're paying $1.50 more a gallon, and you're paying more for every item in every grocery store because it costs more to ship it. That would be every Home Depot. That would be every Lowe's. That would be every CVS, Rite Aid, Walgreens, Walmart, Target, you name it. You're paying more for everything. And that is an added tax. Then they have $3 trillion more in taxes, including a corporate tax. We all know the corporations don't pay taxes, do they, Matt Towery?
Well, let me tell you, the truth of the matter is that you have a Biden White House that operates completely by the polls and completely by politics. This has been probably the most politically driven White House I've seen in my lifetime. So they know their numbers are going down for these very reasons. They know that they've got a problem with inflation. They know they have a problem with the border. They know that they messed up in Afghanistan. But the issue that they're dealing with right now is how to ram as much liberal stuff through this country as fast as they can. That's why they're still pushing this incredible, now it's not $3.5 trillion. What is it? Is the true number, what, $5 to $7 trillion we're being told?
Well, it's over $5 trillion when you add it all together. But, yeah, the $3.5 trillion.
Well, no, I think there have been some analysis that was done, I read today or yesterday, that says it's really many more trillion than even the higher number.
Well, then you add the $1.2 trillion, the $600 billion, and all the other monies prior to that, and, yeah, you're at $6 or $7 trillion. You're right. That would be an accurate number.
It's just unbelievable, and they're pushing this as hard as they can. They want to use what little political capital they have left to keep the borders as open as possible, to pass this legislation that is clearly going to be way too expensive for this country, and most people know that. They're going to continue to push these programs because they don't care about Joe Biden's polling numbers down the road.
But here's the biggest challenge. Republicans can stop this in its tracks. They have to be able to withstand the, oh, you shut the government down lectures, John McLaughlin. And that is all the full faith and credit of the United States is hanging in the balance. Quick break. More of the pollsters, Matt Towery, John McLaughlin. Then your call's coming up, 800-941-SHAWN. You want to be a part of the program. All right, we continue with our pollsters. John McLaughlin, Matt Towery are with us. We've been through enough government shutdowns. This is not our first rodeo, all three of us. It always ends up, you always keep essential workers. Social Security checks will go out. Our defenses are up. as a country. People get a free vacation. They always end up getting back pay. So the government never really shuts down, does it? But Republicans should be arguing, you own both houses of Congress and the White House. You raise the debt limit. We're not going to help you.
Exactly. And by the way, the government shut down, that's a joke. Have you been to Washington lately? They're not in the office. Everybody
that's
else
another
is going
good
back
point.
To work, and they're not in the office. Drive around Washington. Send some people out for your TV show. They're not there. There's homeless people. There's crime. And the businesses are getting killed because they have no customers because the government workers are still getting paid and they're not in the office. And guess what? We can flip the argument on the debt ceiling them because basically if we don't raise the ceiling, they can't spend the $3.5 trillion or $5 trillion or $7 trillion. God, how many zeros are in that? They can't spend that money.
Yeah, but never underestimate a Republican Party's ability to be weak and buckle. Last word, we have 20 seconds, Matt Towery.
Well, to your point, Sean, we were all around when Newt Gingrich shut the country down. And what we got from that was Bill Clinton, a new Bill Clinton, who decided he was going to support a balanced budget and was going to bring a balanced budget. That would have never happened if Newt Gingrich had not stood up and taken that stand, and the Republicans have to do it again. They've got to show the fortitude, or they're going to get run over like they are so often when someone gets weak on this issue.
It's going to be fascinating to watch. The sad part of this is it's not even a political victory. The sad part is the country is deteriorating on every level, and I never thought it could happen. I never thought it would be this bad this fast, and I wrote a book warning how bad it would be. Live Free or Die, America and the World on the Brink. I spell out a pretty dire scenario. Well, it's all coming true, unfortunately. I wish I was wrong there, too. Matt Towery, John McLaughlin, thank you. 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. Quick break, right back.
Breaking news all afternoon. When you get off work, be sure to check in first for everything you missed during the day. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Hi, 25 till the top of the hour. Glad you're with us. 800-941-SEAN. You want to join us? We got a great Hannity tonight. We'll tell you about that coming up. Tony is in the city of Detroit. You want to look at, you know, Exhibit A of what radical Democratic policies and the unholy relationship between the Democratic Party and unions ends up getting you? Losing half your population, bulldozing entire neighborhoods to consolidate services. Yeah, that would be Detroit, the once great, great city of Detroit. Still great people there, but Detroit, you know, this is what can happen to America. It is a preview of coming attractions. California losing population for the first time in 171 years. Not a surprise, is it? When you tax people into oblivion, regulate them into oblivion, you don't follow the science of forestry, and you have rolling brown and blackouts all throughout California, you regulate people to death, you have a, you know, corrupt government, one standard for them and another standard for everyone else, and of course, government just mailing out checks before and after recall elections. Amazing. Tony, how are you?
Good, how you doing? But we got that one big problem, and she's sitting there in Lansing right now. But no, don't want to talk about her at all. But I got a question for you. Haiti is surrounded by water, sitting below Cuba, about 600 miles from the coast of Miami, Florida. It's 1,600 miles from Haiti to Del Rio, Texas. How did these Haitians get from Haiti to Del Rio, Texas, without nobody noticing? 10,000 of them going through Mexico. Nobody warned the Biden administration that there's people coming towards the border?
Well, you're asking a great question. It's, you know, how did the Taliban get to Kabul way up, you know, in the north, in the northern part of the state, more middle to northern part of the country, rather? How did they get there when they started from the south and nobody noticed? Of course they noticed. But nobody lifted a finger to stop it. And then,
nobody said nothing.
Exactly. I mean, listen, the big lie is, Well, we had no idea Kabul would fall in 11 days. It didn't fall in 11 days. You watch province after province after province, province in Afghanistan, you know, just the Taliban rolling over this well-trained Afghan army that Biden was bragging about. And as late as July, by that time, half the country had been in the hands of the Taliban. He did nothing to push them back. He didn't evacuate Americans, their families, green card holders, and our Afghan allies when he had full control of Kabul. It's the same to be said for our southern border. Nothing was done to stop the influx of illegal immigration at our southern border when they left Haiti and left other Central American countries and left Mexico and began their move towards the U.S. border. Nobody stopped them. And they're paying different groups. You know, they're paying gangs, cartels, coyotes, all this money, pretty much their life savings to get out of there. Listen, I've been to Haiti. I went there with Reverend Franklin Graham. And we went there and you know, we went there on a missionary trip. And I flew over the entire country in a helicopter, and I never saw such poverty in my life. It breaks your heart. This is after the first bad earthquake. The answer is they did know.
And the funny thing is, you warned us. You kept telling us all last year, 40 days of the election, 30 days of the election, 10 more days. But you guys better get it right, because you're going to wake up the next morning and you're going to say, what the heck happened? And you know what? We're waking up right now. America's waking up saying, what in the world just happened to us?
I didn't write a book in 10 years. And Tony, I promise, with all my heart, I promise you, I'm not writing another book. Live Free or Die, America and the World on the Brink. Every single word I wrote, I have been proven correct already. And you know what, Tony? I wish I was wrong. I really, sincerely, I love this country with all my heart. And what I see happening to it, abandoning energy independence, think of that one thing. Well, now we're paying $1.50 more per gallon, more to fill our tanks, heat and cool our homes. We pay more for every item of everything we buy in every store. You know, think of the impact of that one decision. And when we didn't have to care about the Straits of Hormuz anymore and what the Iranians might pull in that very narrow straits where, you know, a third of the world's oil supply goes through. Now we have to care about it again. Now Joe Biden begged OPEC to increase production. And by the way, they said no. They're not going to take less than $75 a barrel. No, they're going to bring it back up to $100 a barrel. And guess what? You're going to have to pay it. We're all going to have to pay it. And we're all sucked into this. You want to tell you ever think we'd see Americans abandoned behind enemy lines? You ever think we'd see wide open borders and processing people in the middle of a pandemic, throwing them in overcrowded cages? You ever think we'd see people, 15,000 people under the Del Rio Bridge? You ever think that we'd be told that we're not COVID testing because they're not going to be here long? And then the only thing that we know is that they lie to us, say they're sending them back, and then in the dark of night, dispersing them all across the U.S. No COVID test, no vaccine mandate that they put on you. That's Biden's America. That's the Democratic Socialist America. That's what I said. When I said on the brink, I meant on the brink. And here we are on the brink. You know, the only hope we have is more than a year away, and that is the election. In the meantime, you know, you hope and you pray and you fight every battle you can. You know, the battle for liberty and freedom never ends. Reagan said freedom is but one generation away from extinction. I think I said that in every single interview that I gave when I was on that book tour. Anyway, my friend, you know, we got to keep fighting. You know, just use the analogy that I use. It's not about Sean Hannity. I can promise you that. I'm one guy. I'm one person. It's about all of us, every single one of us. And you want to tune out. You want to forget it. Just suck it up. Well, no, you can't. There's too much at stake here. And every one of us have to commit to being a spoke in the wheel. And the wheel, we need every spoke to make that wheel go round. And is it possible to get the change we want? Yes. The first step is election reform. That happens on the state level. That's getting your state legislators, your state senators, to change the laws to guarantee voter integrity, voter ID, signature verification, chain of custody controls, updated voter rolls, partisan observers get to watch the count up close and personal start to finish. Let's start there. Then it's November of 2022. And then let's see what happens. If Republicans take back the House, we stop Joe Biden's agenda. If Republicans take the House and the Senate, we really stop Joe Biden's agenda. And then if we could get the White House back, you know, then we'd have an opportunity to reverse course and bring back the America First, Make America Great Again, conservative policies that work. I can say it in less than a minute. I've been doing this 33 years. I break conservatism down to its most basic points. Liberty, freedom, capitalism, our Constitution, law and order, so people can be safe and secure, so they can pursue happiness. School choice, which would dramatically improve the opportunities for every American child. These are simple things. Free market healthcare solutions, in terms of healthcare, rather than a top-down government-run Obamacare approach, where you have competition instilled, and we'd protect people with pre-existing conditions. Then I would go from there, constitutionalists on the bench, lower taxes, less bureaucracy, secure borders, energy independence, free and fair trade, peace through strength. Tell me what I'm missing. If anyone has the answer, just tell me, because I'll add it to the list. That is what, you know, if I break down the 33 years of what I'm trying to tell people works, and we saw work under Donald Trump, those are the principles that work. And those are the principles that I believe in. It's not that complicated. Larry, Oklahoma, welcome aboard.
Good afternoon, Sean. It's good to talk to you. I really want to focus on the border, and I'll try to stay as focused as I can. Up front, I want to tell you my bias. I spent 20 years on the border, 5.5 on the Texas-Mexican border. What Biden was saying this morning about, oh, we've got to investigate this and there will be consequences. Those men did nothing wrong. I knew, as a customs inspector, I knew a lot of Border Patrol people. Those horse people are very well trained. Their accusation, and I know what's going to happen. We're going to hear the same thing we've heard. We're going to have to reimagine the border. The Border Patrol, systemically racist, et cetera. You know the drill. And we've got to be able to say, hey, no. And I think what needs to happen is I think that anybody who's ever worked on the border, anybody that's retired from the border, needs to call the White House, Capitol Hill, call their own congressmen and senators and say, you do so much as put a letter of reprimand in those guys' file, there's going to be trouble. They can't do this to people. These guys, I mean, we've never in this country politicized the border. You know, one of the other things that I see going on here is, and I was thinking about it last weekend, you don't move 15,000 people and not be aware of it. Not with all the intelligence capability we have. They knew what was coming. I think the thing, and the only criticism over the last few weeks I've had of you, and I've wanted to get angry, is we have to get past this idea of incompetence. This is intentionality, absolute intentionality, whether you're talking about the border, whether you were talking about Afghanistan, it's intentional. They're doing this on purpose. In fact, what I hope you guys do is keep track of the stats where these Haitians are going. My guess, Florida. They're going to use this as political retribution against DeSantis. That's sad. To use human beings as political tools and weapons is just not what this country was founded for. It's just that.
Look, I don't know what their intentions are, but clearly it's not to enforce the laws of the land. Let's start there. Is there something of great value? You know, why did Democrats try to sneak into the reconciliation bill, which has to do with spending, an amnesty provision? Now, if you have something, how much, there are countries, for example, if you invest X number of dollars in, you know, Belize or St. Kitts or some of these other countries, You can buy your way in, buy citizenship. New Zealand, Australia, they used to have it, that if you'd invest X number of millions of dollars, you could, over a period of time, become a citizen. So that actually, there are countries that sell citizenship. I know it sounds insane, but they do. So you're dealing with something of great value. Now, the great value is, oh, come to America, we'll make you a citizen. And then we hope you'll vote for us as Democrats, because we're giving you this great gift. Now, I don't care where people come from. You know, I believe in legal immigration. Respect our laws, our borders, our sovereignty. But in the era of a pandemic, we need health care checks. We also need background checks to make sure you don't have radical associations. And I would argue we need some type of assurance that you're not going to be a financial burden on the American people. But one simple reason is that we cannot afford, we just can't afford it. And that's a problem. So, you know, okay, I'm for legal immigration. Now, with what the Democrats are trying to do, they just want everybody to become a citizen. Well, that's a problem in this country. How are we going to be able to afford that? That's a big problem. We got about 90 seconds. Time for a quick call. Kathy, California. You got all 90 seconds, Kathy. Go.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? Glad you called.
Doing really good. I was calling yesterday. I was thinking about it. When you have over 100 employees, they have to be tested. We have a lot of factories. We have a lot of manufacturing, big businesses on parts of California. Who pays for that testing weekly? Do you know? I can't find anything.
Yeah, you're talking about who's paying for the COVID testing, the companies or the federal government?
Yeah.
You know, from what I understand is testing you pay for. I know I paid for testing that I've had. Let me put it that way, if that means anything to you. So I paid for a lot of my own testing. In terms of people that want vaccines, vaccines are for free. I'm not sure
I mean in the businesses. We have a tomato packing business here.
I think this most businesses have bought 100. Their most businesses have paid for their own testing. That's my understanding.
Okay. I couldn't find anything. I didn't know the federal government was spending more money in regards to it to get them to do this. I didn't know.
No, it's something, you know, they think, well, it's free. It's free. Everything's free. Okay. Everything's free. You know, again, as we're now at this one size fits all medicine, not something that I support, not something that's scientific, even though they lecture us about science, right? All right, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program, quick break, right back, we'll continue straight ahead.